Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. And as you're turning, let me just point out that the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I think, as I even indicated in my prayer, oftentimes we say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Well, I think the fact that the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," when we want to pray, we'll learn how to pray. Amen? And so I think the key is, do we want to pray? Do we want to really seek God's throne of grace? And if we do, we'll learn how to pray. Anyway, let's begin by looking at the man who kept on asking. As the text tells us, it's midnight, which means all the lights are out and everyone is in bed, which further means it is a no disturbance time, a no bother time. This is not the hour of the night to be knocking on someone else's door, to be begging for bread. Not only was he knocking on someone else's door at midnight, but he was begging, he was asking a favor. How often do you go to someone's door at midnight and ask a favor? But we read in verses 5 through 7, Christ speaking, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot arise and give thee.' But this friend will not take no for an answer. And so he keeps on knocking. And he keeps on asking, he keeps on seeking until," notice, "he kept praying until he got his answer." We give up too soon when we pray. But this man kept on asking until his friend gets up out of bed, goes to the kitchen, and gives him, as the end of verse 8 tells us, as many as he needeth, as much bread as he needs. Now this morning our focus will be on the prayers that are answered. Why are some prayers answered? And we'll study effectual, importunate, persistent prayer under 3 points. And our first point this morning is the men in the Bible who successfully prayed. Our second point is the lesson on prayer for us. And then the third point is the ultimate gift for persistent, importunate prayer. Under point number 1, we honestly can say there are numbers of men in the Bible whose prayers were answered. In fact, the Bible is filled with men, with women who prayed. And if I stopped here and presented that question to you, people in the Bible who prayed and got their prayers answered, and I'm sure many of you would raise your hand and say, so-and-so got his prayers answered. But I want to point out, I want to identify 2 of them for you. And the first man comes from the Old Testament whose name is Jacob. Genesis 32 tells us that Jacob was to meet his estranged brother Esau the next day. But Jacob felt that he needed an all-night prayer meeting with God if his life was to be spared, if it was to be preserved. After all, he had stolen the birthright from his brother Esau, which was a big deal. The sin of Jacob's youth had found him out. And so we read, beginning with verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Doesn't that sound like persistence? And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And God's blessings, Jacob's answer to prayer, included the restoration of Jacob's relationship with his brother Esau. And I say, what a beautiful thing when after many prayers, a relationship is restored. Can I say it honestly? There are too many of us that have a relationship that goes begging. How often do you pray for a restoration of a relationship? I mean, that's important. You know, it's important that we get along. It's important that we have right relationships with people. And here we see a brother and a brother's relationship restored. That's a beautiful thing. Now, a second man in the Bible whose prayers were answered comes from the New Testament. And we're referencing here Jesus, our Lord. Over and over in the Bible, we read of our Lord and how he prayed, the way he prayed, the words he prayed. For example, that he went up into a mountain to pray, and when even was come, he was there alone. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain himself alone. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Doesn't that sound like persistent prayer? All night. He continued all night. Which all tells us all night Jesus prayed. He refused to faint. He kept on praying, meaning he kept on asking. He kept on seeking. He kept on knocking. And then thereafter we see our Lord's persistent prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 26, we see his persistent prayer there, beginning with verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and prayed, and saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again, the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They certainly weren't persistently praying, were they? And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then over in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, we see a further evidence of Christ's persistent praying. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Which all tells us we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. And so being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Which tells us importunate praying was effectual for our Lord. It was effectual for Jacob. Which brings us to point number two, the lesson for us. The lesson of obedience for us. Now, Jacob's example, the friend at midnight's example, and obviously our Lord's example of importunate praying is the model, is the pattern we all are to follow to have our prayers answered. It's no accident, ladies and gentlemen, that after the disciples asked Christ to teach us to pray, that yes, he said, this is how to pray when you pray, and then we have the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. And then he illustrated that prayer by talking about this friend who came to his friend at midnight. This is the lesson we are to learn. This is the lesson we are to learn. You know, we're trying to unfold to you the truth of God's Word. So now what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Oh, that was okay. Or do we take it as a lesson we need to learn? Well, God says, I want to give you the answers to the lessons that you need to learn in life. And one of them is what we're looking at this morning, the lesson on prayer, how we are to pray. Well, let's return to Luke chapter 11. What our Lord is saying regarding prayer here is far more than being importunate or persistent. He is actually saying, he is really saying, because of this man's shamelessness, his friend will arise and give him as many loaves as he needs. His shamelessness. Because of his boldness, because of his audacity, his gall, his forwardness, his audaciousness, his friend will arise and give him all the bread he needs. But we're talking shame to this man for waking up his friend at midnight to beg for bread. We're talking shame to this man who not only woke up his friends, but disturbed as well his friends' neighbors at midnight. It's one thing to wake up your friend. It's another thing to wake up the neighbors of your friend. We're talking shame to this man who ignored the late passers-by who said, be still, let your friend and his family sleep. They're tired. They have had a long day. Let them alone. Stop bothering them. And we're talking shame to the man for waking up all the sleeping dogs. Can we imagine the incessant, constant barking that was taking place as the man kept on knocking, kept on saying, open up, open up. I have a friend who came to me. I have nothing to set before him. I need bread. I need food for him. Open up. I need food. When the dogs are barking, everyone is awake. No one sleeps when the dogs are all barking. You say, well, where did you get that in the Greek? It's there. Mark it down. But Christ's lesson here is like the man who would not be shamed. Don't mind your friend. Don't mind your neighbors. Don't mind the passers-by, and don't even mind the dogs. Just keep on knocking Just knock on. Just keep on knocking, even if people try to shame you. How many times has someone come to you and said, don't keep praying for that? God's never going to answer that prayer. That relationship, it's over. God, He's not going to answer. We give up too soon. Christ says, just keep on asking. Just keep on seeking. Just keep on knocking. Just keep coming boldly to the throne of grace, where you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In our famine of life and peace and strength and joy and victory, we need to shamelessly beg God. He not only has all that we need, but He will give us all that we need. Sometimes I wonder, do we think of God as a cheap God? But my God, Paul said, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Which tells us we can't lose when we persistently pray. So why be shamed? And what heavenly joy comes to our hearts when God's divine door is opened at last. It's opened and the loaves are handed out. Again, what an indescribable feeling is finally ours when after years of praying, midnight after midnight, shamelessly praying, praying with importunity, praying with agony, the light of God's heavenly favor begins to break through. God's door of loving goodness opens and we taste the strength and the sweetness of the bread that can only come from God's throne of grace. Do you know what that bread tastes like? I think if we knew what it tastes like, we would pray and keep on begging at the throne of grace. I think of a personal relationship that has gone wanting for years. But finally, after years of praying, years of waiting on the Lord, years of wondering, Lord, will You ever answer this prayer? I'm now seeing light from heaven's mercy seat starting to shine. And how sweet it is. How sweet it is. How sweet and holy it is. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing like bread from heaven. To have the door of heaven finally open and His manna of victory beginning to fill the hungry, starving soul of the persistent, even shameless beggar, that truly is living. Again, you know what this bread tastes like. You have not, because you what? You ask not. How sad it is, so many of us go to our graves, never really knowing of the manna that comes from God. If we did, if I did, how much more we would persistently pray. Which brings us to God's ultimate gift. This is our third point for persistent, importunate prayers. Just before our Lord closes this chapter on prayer, Jesus addresses the top and the perfection of all importunate prayer, meaning what we should ultimately shamelessly ask for For our prayers are no longer persistent begging for bread or for a fish or for an egg. We are no longer praying for long life or for riches or for victory over our enemies. It is no longer what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. It is now a shameless plea for God Himself, for the Holy Spirit of God, for His holiness in our hearts, for the death and destruction of sin in our souls, for faith in God to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, for love of Jesus, for love for our neighbors, love for our enemies, for the total cleansing of our hearts of all hatred and wrath and strife and envy and evil speaking and pride. 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 Which brings me to ask, how serious are we about walking in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? We can earnestly pray for things and the things we truly need, and we must. We need to so pray. We're needy people. It's when you're away from your home and you're thousands of miles away and you don't speak the language of the people around you, and you know, you wonder, well, can I make this connection? Can I get to where I need to be on time? And you know, there are so many questions that you have that you don't really know, are they going to be answered? How wonderful it is to pray. Say, Lord, I need help. And we saw that help every step of our journey. We are needy people, but the greatest need we have is for Jesus, for His Spirit. How much of Jesus do we really want? How like Him do we really want to become? Are we praying? Are we really praying? Oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee. Precious Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Thou, when Thou prayest, enter into Thy closet, and when Thou hast shut the door, pray to Thy Father which seeth in secret, and Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward Thee openly. Might it be said of you and me, the life, the love, the beauty, the Spirit of Jesus are truly being seen. Let's be like the man who kept on asking. These are prayers that are answered. Now in life we get earnests and we get foretastes of God's glory divine. We sing the song, and one of my favorites, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of a Spirit, lost in His love, washed in His blood. But one day the full bloom of all of our importunate, shameless, persistent prayers will fully and completely be answered. And we see the evidence or what this looks like in Revelation chapter 21. So let's turn to Revelation 21. Let me read beginning with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, does that sound like persistent praying? You overcome, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I say, as we look back at Luke chapter 11, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I say, go to your friend, capital F-R-I-E-N-D, even if it's midnight, such prayers get answered.